Yo, 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 what's good? It's Bear in the building. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Queen Talk. Today's special guest is Iasat Balogun.
Yes, my name is Iasat Balogun. 30 years old, literally African-American, she, her pronouns.
Yes, and how do you identify in the community?
Queer.
Queer?
Yeah, lesbian okay. Is a little too gay.
What do you mean by that?
I feel like sometimes lesbian gives rainbow socks, flags outside, you know what I mean? And I'm just kind of more flannel, kind of gay, you know?
Okay,
People think I'm straight. They just think I'm a tomboy.
Yeah, so people have, like, talked about, like, the queer, I think, like, the older generation, like, when that's said, like, They get kind of like, whoa, we don't say that. But I feel like our generation, the younger generation, were, like, bringing it back into terms of just like, but I haven't heard it said that way. Like, it's Lesbians are a little just too gay. Because I identify as a lesbian, but I don't have rainbow flags and all that stuff out there. That's not me. When I first came out, like, my mom, everything, she just thought everything rainbow. I wanted everything, but I'm just like, nah.
Love the support, though.
That part, love the support, but that's just, that's not me. So obviously you identify yourself as queer, so you accept that. Do you mind people saying that too, or how do you feel about that?
Like I said, most people assume I'm straight, which I'm one of the girls, but I'm not one of the girls, like, you know. So I'm just like, I present very masculinely, but my voice, the way I act, all of that gives real gay boy. And I think that's what make people think, oh, where's your man at?
Okay.
Nowhere. So I think that's kind of where they kind of get it. So if they call me lesbian, gay, whatever, sure.
Yeah. So you just whatever they identify it as, you're just like, but you are part of the community for sure.
For sure.
When did you become a part of the community? So, for those of you that don't know, Iasat is also my cousin.
Hey.
So, let's just throw that out there. Got another family member on the podcast. Love it. And I want to get everybody, as SRO said, like, we got a lot in the family. So,
I had to break it down from the top. There's at least one in every family.
Yes. But when did you tell the family?
I never did. I just was like, this is my girlfriend.
To Annie still? Like, because you lived in Texas, so.
Right.
I think that is how I remember it. Like, you brought, so that's just the same.
You tried to call me out one time. I was cracking up. So, I never came out. I've never had to come out. I was literally, one day I was just like, hey mom, this is my girlfriend. And she's like, well, at least she's black. And that was it. And we just kept rocking from there. And, but you were just like, you did watch Tila Tequila a lot.
Not too cute.
That double shot of love. Yes. I was like, oh, so for sure.
That's funny. I don't remember that, but that just sounds like some shit I'd say, like, yeah. But I could, like, sense it, you know, like,
for sure.
Growing up and whatnot. When is, like, the first time, like, you were like, yes, I am into girls, though?
I would say junior high. So pretty much elementary through ninth. And I think maybe around seventh grade, there was a girl I liked. And I was just like, that's it.
And are you going and growing up in Texas, did you see, like, a lot of more representation of the LGBTQ community? Or was it still, you just didn't see that? How was that for you?
I think Texas, people get it wrong. Texas is real gay. Like, it's real gay. And there's a lot of people, especially I live in North Texas, so it's not South Texas.
Uh-huh.
But, no, I mean, you'd see it, but it was more so like you can clock some people back then. It was, you know, lace fronts weren't laid like they were now. And you'd be like, okay, like, I see you out there. Or you see, like, two couples and, you know, people kind of whisper and whatever. And I never cared.
Yeah. But you, you seen that though, like just like casually growing up in Texas, just
here
like,
and there. Yeah, yeah, some people try to like hide it, but some other people were very living out loud. Especially we have a whole neighborhood, so when I got older, I could like start driving down, seeing it more. So,
in seventh grade, did you feel like you seen that in your school, the representation? Like, what school? What high school? What junior high did you go to?
I went to Central Junior High, which not so much in high school. Not so much in junior high, but when I went to high school, for sure, you know, there was those lesbian couples. We would watch them like a web series. We wanted to know what they were doing, who they were with. We would just be, you know, oh, what's she doing? Oh, you know, one plays soccer, this one's doing that. You know, we were all up in their business. But everybody, they were very out. They were like the lesbian couple at school. No one cared. So it was just kind of a good time.
Yeah. So at what age were you when you had your first partner, your first girlfriend?
19.
And yes. Did you know her in high school? Is that how you guys met?
No. So my best friend is one of five kids, and his sister, they had like a party, like all of the siblings had friends over. So my best friend brought me and her best friend brought her. So we met at that party.
Okay.
I'm real gay because I guess I should be a lesbian because I married the first girl I dated.
Really, we'll get into that too. Like, I want to know like that process of what that was like too for you. But so at 19, you guys just met at a party, and then you guys literally, it was like a U-Haul.
It
like
was up. It was up. Yeah. Yeah. Like we, it was real. Like I said, I never cared, and my mom never really said anything, and her side of her family was a little bit different, so. It was kind of like we could only see each other on Fridays, like when her mom was gone and I'd come over her house because we lived pretty close. So we would have like Friday dates and things like that until we got into college. And then once we got into college, then it was a wrap.
Yeah. So when you brought your mom around, when you brought her around your mom, what was that dynamic like with your mom? Did she like come full accepting? Like, what was that like?
I feel like my mom... She wants to be accepting. So you could kind of see that standoffishness.
Yeah.
But she's very like, oh, daughter-in-law, you know. And then at some point, they were just thick as thieves.
Yeah.
So they were cool.
Well, that's good. Do you feel like your mom accepts your love for women? Or do you feel like she's still kind of like... Cause your mom's older, and I've heard some of the things like your mom, the way she thinks, the way she thinks sometimes I'm just like, it's 2024.
Yes.
Cause again, like we're here now. We're not back then. And, so how do you feel like she is with you and women?
My madre, which reminds me, she said, you know, I got two kids who, they have two moms, and I'm just not really sure how to bring it up. I was like, it's not like you have a gay daughter to talk about it with. Like, yeah. I can tell you what it's like. Yeah. But, no, I think she accepts this. We were just talking about some other little from the other day. So, no, I think she's cool with it. I think that it's more so she doesn't like to be in her kids' relationships because she doesn't want to get invested. She doesn't want to, you know, really be in our business. Mm. But... I am one of them people where I will talk to my mom about any and everything. And I think some people think that that's weird, but I'd be like, I'd be in her business and she don't even ask me. I just tell her my business, but no, I think she's cool with it.
That's good that, you had that relationship, with her. How, have you been navigating just like with other family members, like Annie still? Rest her soul. How was that like when you told Annie Still?
I didn't tell her either. I never walked up.
Well, when Annie, she first,
I'm gay.
No, well, when she first seen your partner, what did she say anything to you? Was there anything?
And you know, she would not hesitate.
Right? Yeah. That's what I was wondering. Like, Annie Still was not scared to share her opinion.
I think it's one of those things where you know you act a certain way when. That's your child, but when it's your grandkid, me and my granny were besties. Like, I used to go with her all the time. So I don't think I could have done anything wrong in her eyes. So she was cool with her.
Yeah. I wonder if, like, she had a conversation with my grandma, like...
Probably.
Yeah, like, her sister was like, like, what is our grandchild? Like, said our grandchildren what we raised. How is this family name gonna get passed down?
Period. Because
that's funny. So when you came out at 19, mm-hmm. and you just like brought around, what made you feel just like comfortable and okay to just bring them around the family like that, mm-hmm. without even being like having that conversation?
I just never cared what mm-hmm. anyone thought. Still don't.
Yeah.
So I just, this is her.
Yeah.
This is me. Like, I think some people care too much about mm-hmm. what their family thinks and what, but this is my life. We live on a floating rock. If I like girls, that's who I like. So it really wasn't even a thought. It was just kind of like, my mom was coming to pick me up. She's standing right here. I'm not going to be like, this is my friend.
Yeah.
We too old for that. That's her friend. They've been living together for 30 years. She's at every cookout. Nah, yeah. This is my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Hey, mom, meet my girlfriend. And no one said anything, really. Well,
that is good. And you bring up a good point. Like, a lot of people in this community, we do think so much of what the family will think. Mm-hmm. And so we don't come out sooner than when we would. Mm-hmm. But you are a good representation for people that just come out and just bring them like it's nothing. I was talking to my friend the other day just about like saying that, normalizing it, like mm-hmm. you know, like not having to have that broad mm-hmm. story long out and just saying like, this is who I am, but this is who I am, and just
thanks.
Without having to have that story. So that's good that you were able to do that. And you said you ended up marrying this girl, so I assume like you guys, did you instantly move in together or what?
Not exactly. So a lot of happened, but for the most part, I lived with my mom and I was just working. I was content too, because I was just like, why would I want to pay my own bills?
That part.
So I was just like, I was just buying stuff, stocking it in my closet. So when I did move out, I'd have, you know, TVs, stuff like that. And then she moved in with me and my mom, which was already mind blowing that she would do that. So she actually lived with us for like maybe a couple of months before we actually got our own place.
Okay, let's talk, like, how was that like with your mom? Like, she was cool with it?
Yeah, I was in college.
Were you guys staying in the same room too?
Yeah.
Okay,
sleeping in the same extra large twin.
Because your mom has like mentioned when your brother come to town, of them mm-hmm. not sleeping in the same room and stuff like that, because they're not married yet. But you can do whatever you want to, huh?
Girl, I'm the girl she prayed for, and she'll tell you that. I used to tell my mom, I was just like I'm a baby, I like the spoon, I'm the little spoon, yeah. And she's like more like a serving spoon. I was like, look, so she already knew.
Yeah.
She was just like, her whole thing always was, don't bring me no kids. Which didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
And no having sex in my house, which, yeah. Well, she don't know. Sorry, but
right, yeah.
I literally told her the other day, you're at the age now, we're going to start finding out things I did.
Right. And vice versa. Like,
right.
Learning about like the upcoming and like what she's done too. So.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. So we were talking about, the process of the marriage. So you said that it was the first person that you'd been with and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
What did the marriage like itself, like, did you go to the courthouse? What was that?
Yes. Went to the courthouse. Her brother was our witness, and it was actually pretty quick. It was like, we already proposed, all of that. And I was like, hey, let's get married today. She's kind of like, oh, okay. So I was calling and I was like, hey, look, you know, what's the process to actually get married? Because, you know, you think you just show up and that's it. We had to like go down to almost like the DMV pretty much, get a marriage license. And then we had to go down to the courthouse and get a judge to sign off on it because it was less than 72 hours. Then we had to go schedule an appointment, and we did all of this in the same day. So in my mind, it was like, if it's meant to be, like, it's stacking up.
Yeah.
So I was just like, hey, you know, and then, so that day we got married.
So you had to go through that process, but it was just that easy for you to just marry her. And you were in Texas, mm-hmm. right?
In Texas. Yes.
So it's obviously legal then in Texas. Mm-hmm. So everything was legal when you got married.
Yeah.
That's good.
2021?
That's good. I wasn't familiar with like what Texas laws were. Mm-hmm. I know about some other things Texas laws were, so I didn't know how progressive it really was. But that's good that you were able to do that. What is something that was like a big impact for you to be like, okay, I can own my truth and who I am? Like,
I'm very outgoing, very sure of myself, very confident, very kind of my way or the highway. Some people look at it as selfish, but hey, if you ain't worried about yourself, who is, you know? Yeah. So, but I'm aware enough to be aware of myself and aware of other people. So I say extroverted introvert because when I'm out and about and it's like that kind of time, life of the party. But when I'm at home and I'm like chill with somebody, then that's where I'd rather be. So yeah. I'm just kind of like that.
And when it comes to being queer and your openness, like what does that look like for you? Like in spaces, what do you do, for like at your job? Are you like able to be open in that area? Are you open in all other walks of life, like that you navigate in?
I'm a proud homosexual. Yes. So I'm actually part of a club at work. We be in the parade and everything. They have a whole, they do events and everything. My manager's an ally. So that's great.
Yeah.
So work, completely fine. Out proud, lots of different people. They're very, like, they put, you can put your pronouns in for your, like, your team so people know how to identify you. Nice. So they're very progressive there. As far as my day life, I'd be out, okay? I'd be throwing singles at these eligible men who, these men are soft. I'll tell you what, they be climbing these poles like no one I've ever seen. So I just be taking my little $20 and throwing it. And you know, when you're the one to walk in the club, it could be 20, but it looked like a lot. And I'd just be walking in there and I'd be throwing and I'd be buying them drinks and shit. I'd be having a good time. But karaoke, all types of stuff. Like, I like to involve myself around other gay people because I feel like there's something honest about gay people in gay spaces. Mm-hmm. Like, they can really be themselves, as weird as some of them may be.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, I'm excited because I get to see, like, I know that that's you coming out of your shell, or you might, this might be your first time at the club. So to be able to, like, hype people up and, like, be an elder gay.
Yeah. And so, like, you're my first guest that is out of town, too. So, like, living in Texas. And what does that, what do those spaces, like, look like? Are they a lot of people of color in those spaces in Texas? Or for you, like, do you see a lot of representation?
A lot. So we have a gayborhood, which is
a gayborhood.
Oh. Cedar Springs, rainbow, like crosswalks, like it's gay. And they have all types of stuff. So there's not very many lesbian clubs. We have one because I think there's only 30 in like the United States. So we have one that's Sue Ellen's. So you definitely get to see a lot of representation there. Obviously, everyone's welcome, but you do see a lot. We have Havana's, so it's more like Spanish. You see a lot more Spanish people in there. Yeah, Roundup, that's where I be at. They got the karaoke. They got, it's just popping. But it's like, if you, they do have line dancing. So if you're like more country, and then they have TMC, which that's where the strippers be at. So that's where I be at. Which they have everything. And then there's like S4, which is more depending on the night. It's huge. They have the drag shows every like Sunday. So you do definitely see a lot of different between age, between race. And Mark Cuban, after Pulse happened, he was like, that's not happening in my city. So he pays personally for a police officer or a an armed guard outside of every single club, every single night.
That's
so it's real safe down there.
Yeah.
But we have, I think it was just a shock to the community in general. And because we literally have a strip full of gay bars, that it was kind of like, it's an easy target when you know where they're all at.
Right, yeah.
So it was pretty cool that he was just like, nah.
Yeah.
So like to this day, and that was years ago, to this day, there's an armed guard outside of every single club.
That's good. That's really good. And it's good that there's allies like that to just like protect the community. When you're, you mentioned like just being in those spaces and people being their authentic self. What was, when did you start experiencing the gay clubs and getting that, that life and that vision?
So Dallas is great. There's so much gay stuff to do. We have Pride, which used to be on the Strip. Now it's at Fair Park because it's just gotten so big, which basically where the Texas Fair is at, because that's how many people come. News coverage, like it's on the news. Like, so Texas is very liberal when it comes to like being gay. We have like Block Party, which is Halloween costumes on the block. So that's usually where, that's when I first started going to like events like that, because it's just flooded. The entire block is flooded with gay people just being gay, and gay people being gay is a hot mess. And they be wearing their, the costumes. They got the confidence of a million men. I'll tell you, because some of this stuff I'm like, but hey, and, so that's kind of how I got my start into it. And because it's on the block, you get to see the clubs, you get to see, because there's different stores. There's like, it's like a queer owned thrift store called Out of the Closet. Oh. So, and then they fund, different queer things.
Nice. I see, man, staying here, like, cousin, listen, like that's, I'm seeking that. Like, I think that's what I'm running to. It's just like, that's what I need in my life. And you mentioned like Havana's too, like the nightclub. That was the first nightclub I had been to. Like, that was part of the community. So it's just like, I'm like jealous that you, like you get that anytime you want to, of just like, and when you go to those spaces, you see people of color. And
more often than not, depending on which space you go to.
Yeah. And like, when you, do you feel like, the people of color there that are not a part of the community are accepting as well? Or do you feel like you see a divide like within your experience?
I think it's, well, first we have a Black Pride. So we have a regular Pride and a Black Pride. So
what, what? I didn't even know that. Like, I'm gonna have to work some things out.
It's lit in Texas, June. Okay? I come here like,
where is it
to
at?
My gay ass back in Texas. But they, no, there's a whole Black Pride. There's, the people who are straight, like the police officers come out, the gay ones too, in full uniform. And I'm just like, you know, like they, so it makes you really feel like this community, like, because you think, oh, Texas, they're riding horses and they got their guns on them, which both are true, but they are very, very accepting. There's a lot of queer representation when it comes to all the events and things that they have. We have 1,000,002 gay podcasts and gay web series that are on YouTube and everything that we have that are featured in Dallas.
Nice.
Lots of things going on.
Yeah, that is, that's so dope. I love to hear it. And that it, you feel like your experience with like people that are straight are also being accepting and whatnot too. So that's good. So
the literal fire department is on the neighborhood. So they, straight people, like the thing is that everybody knows that's a neighborhood. Straight people live on the block. Straight people do other business on the block. We even have like a wine walks. So, and that's like the first Thursday or something of every month. Lots of straight people come and you get to just see and patron and see how regular being gay is.
Yeah. That's so dope. That's a good, that's a space that I need in my life. For sure. Just being able to walk true wherever I go, and feeling that representation as well. Would you feel like, or do you ever see yourself leaving Texas, or do you see like?
I mean, I thought about it.
Yeah.
my job does have different locations to different states that I can easily transfer to. One of them is Atlanta. I am not gay enough to be there. I know. Like, I have been with one woman in 30 years. Atlanta would attack me, or they would just disown me, and I would just be in my house. Like I said, if I ever went to prison, I'd just be like, you got this, you got this. Like, because they think I'm going to be in there like this. I'm going to cry at night. Like, that is how I think I would be in Atlanta. But I thought about moving because, you know, at the end of the day, I can always move back. I know it. I've been there for a long time. I thought about moving here. And if I could move my job just for the money, because I could just, y'all's cost of living is so low, but the minimum wage is the same.
Yeah. That's, dang, I didn't know the minimum wage was the same.
Let me get me an $800 apartment. Yeah. Living the life.
Yeah. What was your thought about moving here? Like, that's like going to like that lifestyle to like seeing all that representation and then coming here. Like, was it a thought and then gone, or are you still thinking about it?
I think about it just because of inflation. And then I come and visit and I'm like, can I go home?
Yeah. Yeah. It is completely different. Mm-hmm. It's definitely night and day.
For sure.
It's calm here. It is very calm.
I come back here. I drive by the hospital I was born at so I can see where a real bitch was born. And then I go home. And then, you know, Dallas is really great. Like, there's a lot. Now, don't get me wrong. People still do kind of give you that eye because not everybody's hip to it. Mm-hmm. But Dallas is a heavily populated area. There's a lot of people living their own lives. A lot of people moved to Dallas for that reason. Lots of people from California moved to Texas. Mm-hmm. So it's way more accepting than I think people would think when they hear Texas.
Yeah. And now we talked a little bit about your mom, but about your dad. Mm-hmm. Do you have a relationship with, is his name Buki?
Yes. Which that word has been, okay, Buki. And I'm just like, daddy? No. You know, we be on WhatsApp chatting because he is in Africa. Yeah. So for sure. It's strange.
Yeah.
Because like my brother, he got to be around him more when we were growing up. So now I'm just kind of like, I don't need to. Mom, is this man? Is this my dad? Okay. Yeah. Now before I get into it, because this could be anybody.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, let me just, you know, make sure it's him and then try to develop that relationship. But some points I'll be bitter about it. Like, when's my birthday? Oh, you don't know? All right, then. I ain't talking to you.
So do you have like an estranged relationship, or does he know like that you're a part of the community? Like, has he expressed his thoughts on that, or is he okay with it?
No, I don't think it's never been something that we've talked about, but we don't really talk often.
Mm-hmm.
I think WhatsApp is more something that's recent, but like as I was growing up, it's very, very bitter about it. So I was very much like, if you don't know key things about me, I don't want to talk to you. Mm. So now I'm just starting to be like, okay, let me, you know, adults are adults. Yeah. Things happen how they happen. Let me just kind of ease into it. So as far as I know, he doesn't know. Sometimes I'll be like, they gonna try to kidnap me. So what? I am convinced I'm African royalty. There's no one who could tell me anything differently. And I just feel like if I go to Africa, I'll never come back. Like,
oh man.
Like, they're gonna put me on a throne. And how can I say no?
That's funny. I always told Tanji, like, bro, let's go. Like, you have connections there. Like, let's go visit and see. Like, I only remember seeing your dad one time, but
one more than me.
Yeah. You never see them?
He sent me a picture and I literally was like, Mom, is this my dad? Like, I could not tell you that man from a African in the woods. Like, I couldn't tell you.
I mean, I couldn't tell you either. I was super young when I met him. Oh my gosh. But he knows of me, so
yeah.
I don't think he would mind like me tagging along. Oh, like, no. If you guys go visit.
Because he definitely was like, we should meet. Like, we should meet up in Canada, or you can come here. And I'm just like, y'all don't have central AC. But literally, he does live. Okay, so Nigeria actually is like money. And so, but he's like, yeah, like, we're good if you want to come.
Yeah.
So, and I think about it, I'm just like, but I, like I said, I got to have my ducks in a row in case I don't come back.
Yeah, I would definitely, if you need someone to just like tag along with you.
Period.
Yeah.
What are you doing next summer?
Don't tip me with a good time because I will definitely, I got my passport ready. So,
okay.
Ain't even got to wait on it. That's how ready I am.
Period.
But do you feel like anyone else in your life, like, had you felt a way because when you came out, or did you, do you feel like everyone was pretty accepting of it?
I just think that my lack of caring blinded me to any of that. Like, mm-hmm. No one's ever, like, I mean, one of my brothers, he did, when I was in college, he knocked on the door and was like, are you gay yet? And that was crunchy. And I was just like,
are you so stupid?
And I was like, what? But no, I mean, and that's the same apartment she lived at. So it was very, if anybody ever had a problem, I never noticed. I never asked anybody. I never asked their opinion. Yeah. This is the first time anyone's ever asked me how I felt or how they've, I never even thought about it.
Yeah. This is the first time like you told your story like of? Like,
mm-hmm. Because I technically don't have a coming out story. I never sat anybody down and I was just like, she's gay.
Yeah.
That's her.
Yeah. And I love that. Like, mm-hmm. like I said earlier, it doesn't have to be a coming out story of just mm-hmm. like, this is my partner. As anybody, a part of a heterosexual couple would mm-hmm. just, this is who I'm with. But that's good that, like I said, you didn't care because also we just tend to care about what family thinks a lot more.
Yeah, y'all do.
And I feel like you got like disconnected mm-hmm. with like the family a little bit.
Oh yes. It wasn't a disconnection. I burned that bridge and I watched it blaze. Okay. To this day. Because I just feel like I'm definitely one of those people who I can tolerate a certain level of disrespect. But again, I don't really care if it's coming from a stranger on the street or someone I grew up with. Disrespect is disrespect. Mm-hmm. And I got tired of hearing, oh, it's family. Oh, they're blocked. Like, it doesn't matter. And, you know, I allow people to be themselves and I choose if I want to experience it or not. And there's certain people who I am perfectly fine not ever experiencing again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm all for boundaries and setting mm-hmm. for yourself and your personal peace for sure. Mm-hmm. For me, I am that person, like, it's family. So mm-hmm. How can we mend things? How can we fix things and bring things together? But I do understand, like I said, boundaries and what's good for my own peace and sanity to just not have to deal with that. So mm-hmm. I do get that. But what I was saying, going with that is just like, you've made friends that mm-hmm. I feel like from the outside looking in has become like your support system just mm-hmm. because of the relationship with the family. So like what did that look like for you with your friendships and mm-hmm. those circles?
Well, I'm a lady, so all my guy friends treat me as such. They open my doors. I tell them, don't forget, don't let the clothes fool you. Like, they open my doors, they pay for my stuff when we go out. Like, they're very much like gentlemen. I like to surround myself with people like that. Or like any of the friends that I have that are girls, that if I feel like I'm more masculine than them, because I would not classify myself as a stud.
Yeah.
And people might look at me and be like, oh, that's a stud. Like I said, I'm one of the girls. I don't be doing all of this, you know.
Yeah.
And no shade, but that's not me. Like, yeah. So I would consider myself to be more masked. And if I feel like I'm more masculine than you, I'll open your, like, I open my mom's door
yeah.
and I pump my mom's gas or, like, you know, if you're going to holler at a girl at the gas station, at least pay for it. Like, I'll be, and gentlewoman, that's too much. I'm a gentleman, even though I identify as female, but.
I feel like with you and experiencing, like, how you express yourself, with, like, you are, you know, like you said, I'm for the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't fit like the stereotype of what you didn't mold yourself into a box mm-hmm. of this is what you identify like this, this is what you should be. And how did you, were you always that way? Like, was there layers to it?
Do think there's layers to it. I think when you first come out, you kind of, or when you first start to see more frequently what you're into. So, you know, on YouTube, like all the YouTube couples that would come out, you kind of try to style yourself similarly. And that just wasn't really me. There is just a lot of things I would see and I try to copy. And I was just like, nah, like, yeah. So I'm not really, which is actually kind of harder because girls want like, that's a stud. Like, I want her to be like this. I want her to be like that. Yeah. And I'm just like, I'm a baby and I'm sensitive. Yeah. So, and we're going to reciprocate. You're not about to just get everything, Miss Ma'am. And if you're not into it, then you could go.
Yeah.
But I think that I feel like I've always been, it's just easier to just be.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you just are, it just is.
Yeah. I think I that's like so interesting because I feel like it's great that you're that way. And it's like, this is who I am because you're not fitting into like these stereotypical roles. Mm-hmm. And like, you're okay with like being yourself and not letting anything like put you in this box. Right. And that's dope. I'm like starting to get that way of just like, not like, cause the representation that I think of what it's supposed to be, like, that's always what I was. But like later on, now I'm just like comfortable with different things that I wasn't comfortable with because I thought I had to be this way. Mm-hmm. You mentioned like, if you're around someone more feminine than you, you'll be, that, and you feel like you're more masculine to them, you'll do like those gentlemanly things. So you still feel like those roles matter in a relationship of like for you specifically?
In a way, I think that women are not shown what true masculinity looks like or what care looks like. So I do it more as a form of showing them that I care than to be more like chivalrous or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the way you put that. It's not, it's just like respect for the relationship. Right. Because there is no masculine or feminine roles. Like there's roles in a partnership. So
excuse me. Cause there'll be some days where, I mean, I like flowers. I like people opening my door.
Yeah.
Because look, if I walk around the back after opening your door and I don't see your ass reach, get out. Okay. Like, I'll pay for the dinner or whatever. But, like, I think that there's a healthy level. There's some girls who are like, you know, that's my man. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
But, like, as long as you can understand and realize that I'm also a woman and that we both have, there's going to be days where I'm resting in my feminine and I need you to rest in your masculine. It has to be an even flow.
Yeah. I do like that. And I think it's important for femmes to know that too. Just like, we want it too, you know, like the love, the affection, and I think that gets lost sometimes in relationships too, but I don't like the flowers, but there's other gestures, you know, there's other ways to show it.
For sure.
But yeah, I get that.
And that's another thing, learning them. Like, I love to learn people, whether it be, cause I look at a lot of my relationships as the same, platonic, family, romantic. I think that like, I love giving gifts. So as to the level of gift I give would depend on the situation, but I'm going to give you a gift for something that you mentioned one drunk night and you don't even remember, or I'll remember something that you said that's small and give it to you, and I unfortunately expect the same. So when it's like, oh, I don't know what to get you, well then you don't know me and this isn't gonna work. But someone, you know, they just listen. They and that same thing, like if you're into video games, obviously don't bring you flowers, like bring you 2K or whatever y'all be playing. I don't know.
Clip cut, she's single, so
period.
This is Long Walks on the Beach.
Welcome to Smooth. Meanwhile.
Man.
So but looking for my favorite eater.
Oh, oh, Oh my gosh.
Because if not, then leave that DM in drafts. Okay.
Oh my gosh. That is hilarious. That is hilarious. Do you feel like in your relationships you have like a good dynamic of just like partnerships of not having one role or another role, or do you just find yourself naturally doing certain things?
I think that I rest more in my masculine and I like it there. I'm not afraid to go into my feminine, but I need to be with someone who allows it. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but can almost like help me into it. Cause sometimes I'm just like, nah, I don't really know. Mm-hmm. But you know, when you're comfortable with somebody, you'll try anything. So mm-hmm. certain things for sure.
Yeah. I'm not like the typical, I've had some, more masculine, lesbians come on here and they're like, yeah, I can fix a car. I can, do all this stuff that I'm just like, that's what they think I should be able to do, but that ain't what I be doing. Like that's not.
I could change a tire, yeah. And if the air pressure's low, I could. But the way I'm gonna roll up and tip a man to do it, ain't no way. Because sometimes I'm just like, or if I'm about to change a tire, I will look as helpless. Let me take this final off. Because I'm like. And a man like, oh, you need help? Yes, I do not know how to change a tire. And I'll sit there and watch him do it, and we're going to talk about his family or whatever.
Oh, my gosh. That is hilarious. I'm going to start doing it. I do that at AutoZone. Like, when I need someone to change the AutoZone, and I know that they come out there and fix the cars.
If I don't have to, I'm not. Right. Now I'll make a girl think I know.
Yeah.
I'll let me take your car. I'm going right to AutoZone, and they're going to do it, and I'll bring that shit right back.
Oh, my gosh. That is hilarious. That is hilarious. But yeah, I'm not, that's not me. I'm not into that type of stuff, but it's good that you're like comfortable with that too. Just mm-hmm. owning it. Like this is what you get. And being very comfortable within mm-hmm. yourself. So that's really nice. But just like a part of your journey of coming out, do you feel like, I know you're like, the not caring type, right? Mm-hmm. But do you feel like you've ever felt like, man, this would be easier if I was? Yeah.
The way these girls be talking about these men, they be like, my man don't do this, my man don't do that. And I was like, I will. Okay. Like, I like to make bouquets. I like to shower in compliments. I'm romantic. I like to... If I like somebody, I like to tell them. I like to be very vulnerable. I like to, and it just seems like these men act like they don't know how to wash dishes. And it's like, mm-mm.
Yeah.
Because if I was a man, I'd be straight.
Yeah. Same. What would you say, like, you didn't have any hardships of wanting to change yourself? Mm-hmm. And what resources, if any, did you have, like, when you did come out in Texas?
I like to look things up. So I like to Google. I like to just watch different resources. So if I don't know anything, I'm going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. I've seen gay people, but it wasn't like representation. They were just like regular ass people on the street. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, well, let me see what this is like. So I'll go on YouTube and I'll like watch videos of just gay couples just being themselves. Mm-hmm. Read the comments, watch. Well, the podcasts were really a thing then, but just. I don't know, because I really didn't even have social media.
Yeah.
Like, I barely still do now, which I think is a trait that makes me attractive, because I'm not out here trying to impress bitches. But, it was hard on that end, but I feel like I am a person that can learn through watching other people. Mm-hmm. So I got to see how they moved in their relationships, and then I understood, with me knowing me, how I would move in the same situation.
Mm. Yeah. What would you tell someone that is maybe having a hard time of just like coming out, what would mm-hmm. your advice be for them?
Don't give a fuck. I mean, honestly, it's mm-hmm. my advice to somebody, let me be in a pageant. My advice to someone who is coming out would be, I don't know, it's real personal. It's, you know, there's people who they feel like they have something to lose, which I feel like everybody does, but like I said, we live on a floating rock. We're in a recession. Rent is high. I got bills to worry about. I ain't worried about what they think. Like, yeah. At the end of the day, especially if you know your situation better than anybody else. So if you feel like out of 100% of yourself that you can be, make sure that there's somewhere you can be 100% yourself. If you can only be kind of 50% yourself here and there, okay. But, you know, try to at least find a place where you can be fully yourself, because eventually you'll either find the confidence or you'll find, you know, whatever it is that's preventing you from being your full authentic self with your family and friends. You'll find that eventually.
What's one thing that you've just like told that you've never told anybody that would, about your story and your coming out journey? Like, that's maybe something's happened to you or...
One thing I've never told anybody?
Yeah. Giving the queen talk the exclusive.
I think that... okay. So, I think that when we first come out, we were real weird, you know? Yeah. There's this one girl who... That's the one from middle school. I was so weird. And it was to the point where I was already a weird kid. But it was just kind of like, I'm gay... And I don't know if she is, but we're friends and we hang out at her house and I'm just like staring a little too long and, you know, just being a little weird. I actually ran into her at a party like a couple years back and I was like, bro, I'm so sorry for being fucking weird as hell. And she's like, nah, we were young. Like, I get it, but you were kind of acting up. And I was just like, so it was cool, but no one really knows. Like, you know, I had an opportunity. And I have enough, you know, confidence in myself and who I was then. Like, you know, you're just like a little baby gay trying to learn the ropes and, you know, the way. And, you know, you figure it out as you go. So it was kind of cool to meet back up.
So you, speaking of that, you knew in seventh grade, but you didn't say anything or express yourself till you were 19.
No. There's a girl I liked. I forgot her first name. I know her last name. And she used to work up at like the kind of like a main event kind of thing. And I would go up there and I'd buy tokens and shit. And she'd work the concession. So I'd always be up there just, you know, paying money. Hey, funnel caking. And I was like, let me just, you know, get, you know. So she entertained it, but I still don't even know she was gay. But we just had like a little thing. It was cute and innocent, but nothing really came out of it. But that was more the advanced kind of when I was trying to be more assertive. Mm-hmm. And then I was just kind of like, there's no one I really liked outside of those two until I got to high school.
Yeah. But you weren't against like dating anyone, like, but that was the first. You didn't find anyone attractive until...
My philosophy is, if you want to take me out, that's a free meal. I don't care.
Did you date men and stuff, like, throughout high school and stuff like that? Or were you...
No, I really didn't date. I went on one date, which was a shame. It was a hot mess. She was... Because I was on the volleyball team. And I was like, I got a date. And they're all like... Because they're all straight. Oh, my God. And where are you guys going? And, we know each other. And she wasn't a looker. But she was there. And she wanted to take me out. We went to an apartment so she can get a piercing.
That was your...
I didn't sign up for this. Take me back to school. So she dropped me off. And then, obviously, it's high school. We're talking about... You know, they're all like, what happened? This bitch then took me to an apartment complex to get some illegal piercing. And I'm just like, no. So word gets around. And she's just like, I hear she wants to fight me. Well, hit me in the quad. What's that? I'm not saying nothing but the truth.
Yeah.
And obviously she didn't show up. And I wouldn't have fought her anyway. All this is for nothing. Like, I am, I'm working out. I'm gonna take boxing classes.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I got a right hook. Yeah. You know, those little machines. I get like, you know, 750, seven, you know, I get up there.
I've never punched one of those before.
They're so fun.
I don't, my knuckles are, they're too fragile. I'm not the one to punch walls. I ain't trying to hurt myself.
That too. I'd be like,
I ain't got the time for that. I ain't got the time. But so do you feel like you grew up with like a good circle of friends, like in your high school that were pretty diverse and a part of the community too, or?
No. I don't think I really surrounded myself with gay people until college. In high school, like I said, there was a couple who we were all blogging about. But outside of that, like I wasn't actually friends with either of them. Mm-hmm. But no, I was the only gay one that I really knew that was on the, well, I was the only gay one on the volleyball team. I was the only really gay one in any sport I played.
Were you out to those people in high school too?
Yeah. It was never a problem. I think I made it more a problem. And I was like, oh, I'm going to change in the bathroom because I don't want to. Girl, at some point I was like, why do I give a fuck about these people?
Yeah.
Same thing. I really just like, sometimes I think about other people and then I like, why?
Yeah.
So I try to, I think I made it more of a problem than anybody else did. And then once I was just like, no, I'm comfortable with myself. No one cared.
Yeah. That's good. That's awesome. That's a good trait to have.
Mm-hmm. I'm single. Follow me on Instagram. I'll get to that. I'm really not trying to shout out cause I am caking right now, but
you caking right now?
I'm caking hard. Okay. Oh,
you got someone you're interested in? Mm-hmm. Okay, okay.
I told her, I was like, I'm not about to talk to about you on this podcast.
You want me to edit this out?
Shit. No.
She's still caking in the podcast. Still caking in the podcast. That's dope. Whoa. Cousin, what are your final thoughts that you would like to leave with the audience?
Be who you are for your pride. Period. Be gay, be happy, be yourself. If you're one of those people like me who just doesn't care, keep it up. It's hard out here, especially when you have to listen to other people who do care. And you're just like, why? We got to be sympathetic. You know. No, I feel like I appreciate you, you know, having me on here. It's definitely good. I'm going to watch more episodes. I think that it's important to the community to have things like these because, like I said, I was a kid watching these same things on YouTube trying to, like, navigate and figure myself out. So I hope this helps somebody.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining me. And I hope so, too. Like, that, like you said, this is what this is for. It's just like show that representation, that we're out here walking different walks of life, not fitting the stereotypes of what you may think you are. And just hearing, molding yourself into who you want to be and not just what you think you should be or what you have to be. So thank you for coming on here and joining me. I just appreciate it. You coming and showing support. And like I said, you're the first person to be an out-of-stater to be in person. As you guys know, I am opening up the remote podcast. So if you are out of state, we can still get you here online. So if you are interested, please make sure you guys fill out the form on the link below and follow, like, subscribe, leave a comment. Let us know what you think of this episode. As always, family, friends, strangers, love. Be nice.
Be nice.